Hello and welcome to the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast. It's a big one this week. We'll be chatting to Daniel Handler, who, well, let me explain a little bit later how he's related to Lemony Snicket. We've also got A.F. Stedman and Nikki Smith-Dale about her brand new book, Betty Steady and the Toad Witch. All right, let's kick off today's podcast by chatting to Daniel Handler. He's Lemony Snicket's spokesperson, if you will, and we're going to find out about the 25th anniversary edition of A Series of Unfortunate Events. So I am joined right now by Daniel Handler. Now, Daniel Handler is an interesting character because I believe you are Lemony Snicket's legal, literary and social representative. Is that right?
That's right. I'm flattered that you find that so interesting.
You must know, therefore, that this year is the 25th anniversary of A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Yes, it's just astonishing. If you were born when A Series of Unfortunate Events was first published, you're now in your mid-20s and quite sad and upset. It's been, I think, a troubling 25 years. I think we'll look back on history and not regard this as the pinnacle of civilization. And I think probably the effect of Mr. Snicket's books has a very large part to do with this.
Tell me, was there a party to celebrate this? Because I feel like, you know, if the books are turning 25 years old, there should be like a big celebration, right? I mean, I know it's maybe not in Lemony Snicket's kind of like MO, but it's got to be worth celebrating.
Well, I did wake Mr. Snicket up and I said, I'm afraid it's been 25 years since your books were first published. And he reacted. It was almost like looking in a mirror in a way. He reacted in a way that almost exactly mimicked my own facial expressions of dismay. I believe that there have been some small gatherings here and there of people, you know, comforting each other or otherwise a meeting of a, you know, sort of a support group for people who have been concerned for these books. And then the publisher has issued some new covers for them. And I will be traveling to various bookstores to make sure that these books are well hidden. And so that we can, I think, properly celebrate the 25th and last year of Mr. Snicket's books being available to the public. I think that's where the party is for me, is when we know that no one can get their hands on them.
Absolutely. You want to cover them up with different books, right? I mean, these beautiful illustrations that Emily Gravett has done, you don't want anyone to see them. They're awful.
I mean, she's a very talented illustrator, but even the most talented of artists can go horribly, horribly astray. So yes, as you point out, there are many, many hiding places in a bookstore. I've had reason to hide there for several days at a time. And I'll try to put these books in the various nooks and crannies of which I'm aware.
So if you were to hide some of Lemony Snicket's books somewhere to make sure nobody got their hands on them because they are, you know, so dangerous, which section do you think you'd go into? Would you pop them in travel? Would you put them in religion? Where do you reckon they would be well placed?
Well, in my experience, it is the philosophy section of most bookstores that gets the least traffic. So I think I would just put them there among huge, thick books about attempting to establish reality or the proper ethical way to live your life. I enjoy those books, but I tend to be alone in those sections of the library. And so, yeah, I think there should be ample hiding place there.
For some people who don't know Lemony Snicket's story and A Series of Unfortunate Events, of which there are many amazing books, can you tell us a little bit about what happens in the books and about the world of the Baudelaire family?
Well, first, I think I have to express my admiration for anyone who is unaware of them. It means you've led a good life, a noble life, and you're now in a state of fragile happiness that shouldn't be disturbed. But sadly, many people have learned about the 13-volume series, A Series of Unfortunate Events, which is about three children, Violet, Klaus, and Sonny Baudelaire. They lose their parents in a terrible fire and are forced to live with an unpleasant man whose name is Count Olaf, a man whose name is so terrible I don't like to say his name out loud more than three times in a row. And they find themselves in one bit of trouble after another in a parade of despair and dreadfulness unmatched, I think, in the past 25 years.
Did Lemony expect all this fuss when he found this story, do you think? Did he expect all of this world to kind of... All of the world does know about the books now, from the films, from the TV shows, from the video games. It's everywhere.
Yes, it has spread. I think the term is virally. Mr. Snicket's work has spread all over. It's been translated into numerous languages, and copies are available in bookstores and dungeons really all over the world. And it's been astonishing and bewildering. I think Mr. Snicket never imagined that people would be interested in the stories of terrible things happening to orphans over and over again. And indeed, I thought being his representative would be kind of an easy job because no one would be interested in such a thing. And so I would just get to sit with my feet up on the desk or on someone else's desk and enjoy my time as his representative. Instead, I've traveled the world speaking about his books and even occasionally am featured on popular radio programs.
Now tell us, these books they are beautiful. They are amazing. Where can we get them from? Is it just, are they out on the 25th of April? Is that right?
That's right. They'll be in stores within days with these spiffy new seductive covers by Emily Gravett, who should be ashamed of herself. And I will be speaking in various places in the country of England.
If Lemony could give us one little quote, what do you think he would say to us about the new versions? Or what would he say about a series of unfortunate events in general? If we could get a little one kind of line from him, what do you reckon he'd say?
Well, he often says to me, Mr. Handler, and I say, I've told you you could call me Daniel. And he says, I'm not comfortable with that. And I say, I'm so sorry, Mr. Stickett. He says, Mr. Handler, all of the secrets of the world are contained in books. One should read at one's own risk. And I take my hat off to that remark. These books have fascinating and dreadful stories. They have upsetting illustrations. And if people are sensible, I think they'll stay away from these books. But in my experience, people rarely are.
Thank you very much, Daniel Handler. Thank you so much for telling us all about Lemony Snicket's brand new versions of a series of unfortunate events.
Thank you for inviting me to this windowless room to speak about him.
What an interview. That was a lot of fun. A big thank you to Daniel Handler and, of course, Lemony Snicket, wherever he is. Next up, we're going to chat to A.F. Stedman. Now, she's got the third book in her Scandor series out at the moment. Let's find out a little bit about it. So I'm joined right now by A.F. Stedman, the author of the Scandor series, and there's a brand new book out in the series, Scandor and the Chaos Trials. Hello, how you doing?
Hi, I'm really well, thank you.
Now, this is big, man. This series is everywhere at the moment. But in case people have missed it, I don't know how they would have done that. Tell us a bit about where we've got so far with our characters.
Okay, so Skandar, the main character, he always wants to be a unicorn rider, and he makes it to the island, and he is training with his friends with his unicorn. And we're on the third year of training in the Eyrie, the rider training school, where they have to face the Chaos Trials, which are four elemental trials across the elemental zones of the island.
Okay, so we've also got a few other characters in the mix, haven't we? We've got a bit of family as well there.
Skandar's got a sister, Kenna, who we meet very briefly in the first book, but her story kind of gets a little bit bigger in book two. And in book three, it gets a lot bigger.
Yes, because she's coming around, and she herself is learning a thing or two about unicorns.
She is, and she has a different kind of unicorn to the others in the series. And she's struggling with that a little bit because she's feeling like she doesn't belong there. And Skandar is trying to do his best for his sister, but he's also got a lot of pressure on him in his third year. And so their relationship is under quite a lot of strain. And Kenna is learning some kind of different sorts of magic to everyone else. So she is going on her own journey for sure.
Now, this is amazing. So it must be interesting to write about this world from two different perspectives then.
Yeah. So yeah, Kenna has her own perspective, which has been really fun. So I'm a big sister. I'm the oldest sister, like Kenna is. And so I like writing from her perspective because I feel like some of the ways she feels about her brother and their relationships is I'm kind of drawing on relationships with my brothers as well.
I see, we've got a bit of real life action in there. And what about Skandar? What kind of adventures is he going on in this book? What's his main focus?
So his main focus is definitely getting through the Chaos Trials. And you have to pass all four of them. They collect these things called solstice stones. So they're sort of fire, water, air, and earth stones, which look a lot like glassy gemstones. And they have to have four in order to get back into the training school at the end. So it's very stressful. You can also kind of get spare ones for other people. And so there's quite a lot of politics going on. Kind of on a less epic point of view, he is also dealing with the Den Dances. So it's the first year that they're allowed to go to the dances at the Eyrie. So there's some tension that comes from that in the friendship group. Some of them want to go, some of them don't. And there's sort of the beginnings of romance as well.
Is it hard to weave in that kind of the magical aspect and also the real life kind of like kid teenage aspect, or is that quite a nice balance for you?
I really love that balance, and I think the fantasy world really lets me do that because there's this really strong friendship group, and they are going through normal stuff. Even though they've got bloodthirsty unicorns, they are going through what a normal friendship group kind of goes through as they're growing up. So balancing the two is really fun. And I think I've been waiting to write the third book for a long time because there are developments that come within the group that I've really been looking forward to.
Now, I have to ask, it must be interesting to write this series. Do you plan the whole series out? Do you know exactly what's going to happen in each book?
I've known from the beginning vaguely what's going to happen in each book. And I also know what the end is going to look like in book five. But as I'm writing it, I also discover more things. So it's a balance of knowing vaguely where I'm going. I had to plan out the Chaos Trials quite carefully because I needed to work out which riders were going to make it through and which ones weren't. But in terms of some of the scenes, I like to see where the action takes me as well. So I give myself some freedom and some planning.
Do you think the book has surprised you a little bit? Do you think there's a few bits where things have happened that you didn't plan, but you were just like writing it and you're like, oh, this is interesting?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that one of the things that surprised me was certainly Kenna, Skandar's sister, because she has mutations like the other characters. So the characters in the book have these elemental kind of changes that happen to them. So some of them have flaming hair, some of them have kind of water threaded through their like eyebrows and things like that. But Kenna, hers are a bit different because she has a different kind of unicorn, a wild unicorn. I feel like when I thought of that, my imagination just went wild. And so hers are a little bit kind of more scary than the other kinds of mutations. And I'm excited for readers to see all of them.
And tell me as well, I mean, I know there's a lot of excitement for these books. It must be quite cool to be like the leader of this world. I know people like are thrilled whenever a next book comes out for you, and they must be just like hounding you all the time to see when the next one is around.
I'm delighted that people are excited for the next one. I think my main mission as a children's author is to get people reading more books. And so if they're excited about reading my books and all books, then that is kind of exactly where I want to be, and I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, it's such a big thing, and it's such an exciting thing to create a world that people want to just delve into. And you've also got a brilliant map at the beginning as well, which really helps to lay everything out. Do you look at that map every now and again yourself?
Oh, I definitely do. So the maps in for Skandar, they're different in every book. So it's the same kind of basic format, but then there are different sort of parts of it that are relevant to that book. So in this one, you see what kind of things are in the zones. So it's a little bit of a spoiler almost for the rest of the book. But at some point, you know, if you lie all the maps on top of each other, you'll get the whole picture of the island. But I certainly check them for directions to see how long it's going to take the characters to get from one place to another. It's really, really helpful.
I love that. I love that you even as the author, as the creator of the world, still have to double check those things.
Yeah, I do.
Incredible. All right. Well, before I let you go, I just want to ask you if there's one thing to look out for in the book, something that listeners can kind of, maybe your favourite bit in the book or something that you think is pretty special or exciting. What thing, when we read it, should we look out for?
The first thing is the end of chapter 17. So when you get to the end of chapter 17, I think it's quite hard to put the book down after that. It's a pretty shocking moment. But I would really love readers to kind of look out for the elemental creatures that live in the zone, because I had a really, really fun time creating those. You meet stalagmites, which are really, really dangerous. You meet salamanders. So I'm excited for them to meet those creatures.
Well, Annabelle, thank you so much for sharing that with us and for telling us about Skandar on the Chaos Trials. And hopefully we'll see you for the next one.
Oh, that would be so lovely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you to A.F. Stedman for telling us all about Skandar and the Chaos Trials. Now, finally, it's time to chat to Nikki Smith-Dale about her big new book, Betty Steady and the Toad Witch, a story containing fights, friendships, and lasagna-eating snails. What more could you want? I am joined right now by brand new author Nikki Smith-Dale, and she's got a brand new book out as well called Betty Steady and the Toad Witch. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Bex. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I have to say that we listen to Fun Kids all the time in my house. My children absolutely love it.
Yes, that's what we like to hear, Nikki. Oh my goodness, well, automatically you're my new favourite author for saying right. That, obviously. Now, this is really exciting. This is your first book ever, is that right?
It is my first book, yes. It's a scary but very exciting thing.
Oh, you've got nothing to be scared about because it's such a great one. It's Betty Steady and the Toad Witch. Tell us a little bit about Betty.
Okay, so basically Betty Steady is a totally bonkers fantasy story. So Betty, she's 12 years old, but she's very strong, very cool, and she's the guardian of Wobbly Rock Castle. So she protects this castle all on her own. And she does like to do it all on her own. She says, I don't need no stinking help from no one. So basically, she's just a massive show-off. But one day, she gets tricked. She gets lured away from the castle by an evil toad witch. and the Toad Witch casts a spell on her, which shrinks her down so that she's the size of a tiny, tiddly toilet roll. And suddenly she's not so big and strong anymore. And when the Toad Witch then goes on to try to attack the castle with her horrible army of worms and toads, Betty thinks, how can I save the day now? I'm really tiny. Suddenly she can't rely on her massive biceps anymore, which, by the way, are called Linda and Greg. And everything's changed for her. And she realises that actually maybe she does need some help after all. And then she goes off and she meets lots of brilliant characters who help her along the way.
Now, she's a bit of a swashbuckling action hero, isn't she? It must have been quite exciting to write her.
I loved writing her. And I have to say that she's got the confidence that I've always wanted. So I think it's a bit of a kind of wish fulfillment thing writing Betty, because she's just so cool and she believes in herself so much. And I think I've always really wanted to be like that. So I think that's why I wrote her the way she is.
I see. All right, I get that. She is such a lovely character, but we also have to talk, you mentioned there about naming the biceps. We have to talk about your names, because you are exceptional at naming characters.
Thank you very much.
Oh my goodness. So obviously our listeners might not have read the book yet. So two of my favourite ones that stood out to me were the horse, who you've given a very formal name to.
So Betty's horse is called Simon Anderson. It's a very formal name, isn't it, for a horse? He is an incredibly handsome, dashing horse, and he wears tiger print cycling shorts, and he's the most handsome horse you've ever seen. So he's a big favourite of mine.
Did you name him after someone in particular? Is there a Simon Anderson in your life?
No, there isn't. You know what? It's a weird story, but I was once at the zoo and there were some plaques on the ground, and I thought that they were the names of the animals, but it turns out they were the names of the people that had sponsored the animals. I was reading them and I saw one that said, it was actually for a monkey, not a horse, but I saw it and it was the name Simon Anderson. And I said to my friend, that's a really strange name for an animal. And then I realised actually it was the sponsor. But then I had it in my head, I thought, that's a great name for an animal.
I love that, that's amazing. And also my other favourite name was L. NMOP.
I don't even know how I came up with that. I think maybe I was just singing the alphabet one day to my children. And there's something about LMNOP. You kind of say it all together in one bunch, don't you? It's just LMNOP. And then I thought, actually, maybe that would make a good name for a character. So yeah, her first name is L and her last name is MNOP.
Yeah, when I saw it written down, I was like, oh, that's clever. I like it a lot. It was so fun. And yeah, what are the favourite characters in there? Because you've got like a whole bunch of crazy cast and crew in that book, haven't you?
Yeah, there's so many different characters. I think my favourite character is actually someone who's got quite a small role. He only comes up in it a couple of times, but he's called Johnny Logflume. And he's one of the royal flag bearers. He comes across as a kind of a very nervy kind of character. But at the end, when there's a big battle, he suddenly remembers he can do kung fu and he manages to biff all these toads out of the way. And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot I could do kung fu.
It's such a funny book as well. Like,
oh, thank you so much.
It is. And reading it, like, obviously you've got the narrator kind of telling the story and you've got Betty and the whole crew behind. But is it hard to write a funny story for kids?
It is, in a way. I think I write quite slowly. So when I talk to other writers, they say, oh, they write thousands of words every day and they want to get their word count up. But for me, I write really slowly because I edit quite a lot as I go along. There's lots of jokes and puns and wordplay in my books. So for me, I go through it really slowly and edit it with a fine tooth comb. And I find that works really well for me. But ultimately, I just wrote a story that made me laugh and I just wanted to be as silly as possible. I'd written a few books before. None of them had really worked before. And I thought, well, what is it? And what I discovered is that I wasn't really using my own unique voice. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? I'm just going to go for it and be as silly as possible and make myself laugh. And it seemed to work quite well.
It absolutely does, because that voice is really fun. And obviously you're speaking directly to the reader because you're explaining everything to them. And it is, it's a bit, if our listeners have read Grimwood, it's a bit like Grimwood.
I absolutely love Grimwood. So I'm pleased you've said that.
Yeah. And also I think for older listeners, maybe a bit of Monty Python in there as well. You've got kind of like...
Absolutely. See, I grew up with all these surreal comedy shows. Monty Python, The Mighty Boosh, even things like SpongeBob SquarePants. I think that's really surreal. And they all influence me. And that's what makes me laugh, things which are really silly and absolutely bonkers.
And also in a kind of like medieval kings and queens setting as well, which is always quite exciting.
Yeah, it's a kind of a mashup of the two, isn't it?
It's so much fun. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed Betty Steady. I honestly, it's just such a funny book, and it's so rare to find one that makes you laugh out loud. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I hope that any parents or adults reading it with children will enjoy it too, because I think that's the key, isn't it? Is that everyone's enjoying it when they're reading it together.
And if nothing else, you've got some incredible illustrations from Sarah Horne.
Oh my goodness. Sarah Horne is an absolute genius. She just went for it, and she's added so many details, which I would never have expected, but it's just added so much more to the story. They are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they're brilliant. Now, before I let you go, we have a little quickfire game on Fun Kids, a little quickfire round of this or that, if I could play that with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So super chill, no stress. First up, books or Kindles?
Oh, books. Yeah. I like to hold a book in my hand.
Heroes or villains?
Ooh, I loved writing the Toad Witch. She's hilarious. But I think heroes have my heart, so I'll say heroes.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
I think TV, because I guess you can go into more detail with TV because it can be longer.
Pam or Pam?
I'm going to go for Pam with a double M, because she wears a crown of freshly cut bread, which I absolutely love.
I should say for our listeners, they're characters in your book, and that's a specific question for you, don't worry. Beginnings or endings?
Oh, I find it really hard to write endings, so I'll say beginnings.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Narnia. Tea with Mr. Tumnus, can you imagine?
Oh, well, yeah,
that'd be the
fair
best.
Enough. Do you use a laptop or do you write by hand?
I write notes by hand, but I write the story on a laptop.
And do you write 9 to 5 or whenever you fancy?
I kind of fit it in, really. I've got 2 young kids. I've got a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. So, yeah, it's a bit mad in my house. So I just fit it in where I can, really.
Snails or toads?
I think snails.
Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, how can I choose? I'm going to say Paddington, because those new movies are just absolutely genius.
Yeah, I think the movies have really done a solid for the Paddington.
They really have, haven't they?
And finally, the big one, salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Oh, salt and vinegar. Absolutely. Does anyone even choose cheese and onion?
You'd be surprised.
Really?
If they do, I end the interview immediately, Nikki. That's
I'm
the
sure
one question
do.
I care about. Yeah. I'd be furious if they picked it, but you didn't, so you passed the test.
Yeah, I passed.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Nikki. And can we expect more adventures from Betty Steady very soon?
We can. There are more coming. So the next book will be out early next year. And I can give you a little preview of the title if you want.
Yes, please. Absolutely.
It's called Betty Steady and the Queen's Orb. So that will be out early next year.
That's what we want to hear. Nikki, thank you so much for telling us all about Betty Steady and the Toad Witch.
Oh, thank you so much.
What a show, what a lineup. Big thank you to Nikki Smith-Dale, AF Stedman, and of course, Daniel Handler, and I suppose Lemony Snicket, wherever he may be. If you've enjoyed this podcast, remember to like, subscribe, and follow wherever it is you get your podcast from. And of course, I'll be back soon with some more excellent books. Bye.